Invite your attention to the book of Revelation. We're going to continue our study this morning in the book of Revelation. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, the cold church is the title of the message this morning. The cold church. Have you ever been in one of those? A cold church? I'm not talking about wintertime cold. I'm talking about a different kind of cold. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, would you stand with me as we hear from God? Verse 1 says, "To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father God, it is indeed good to be in your house today. And Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you for prayer.
Amen. You may be seated. All right, to just do a quick review. We opened this chapter to the angel of the church at Ephesus. Do you recall who the angel is? We're not talking about angels as in the creatures of heaven, angels, but rather that word angels, as it's translated, literally means messenger. So we could say to the messengers of the church at Asia, right? And that messenger is, of course, the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Okay? The pastor of the church at Ephesus, also called the seven stars. The stars are the pastors of these churches. And we see the Son of Man, and last week we saw him walking in the midst of the seven lampstands. And the lampstands are what? Oh, you flunked the test. The lampstands are who? The churches, exactly. So next week when I ask you who are the lampstands, you're going to say the churches. And when I ask you who are the angels, you're going to say the pastors. All right, then we won't have to go through all this next week, right? We'll just get it right up front. Be done. But we do see Jesus walking in the midst of the churches, and he tells the pastor at the church at Ephesus, "I know your church. I know your church because I'm in the midst of your church." And he said, "I know your works." They were a dedicated, obedient group of folks, a hard-working church, as we'd refer to them today. Jesus said, "I know your labor." That word labor means hard work, difficult work. They're serving God day in and day out. They're pouring their heart into their work. And they were patient, persevering, enduring. You know, sometimes the work of God gets hard, doesn't it? What do you do when it gets hard? You keep working. Keep pressing forward. Don't back up. Don't give ground to Satan. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You just keep pressing forward. Endure. Persevere. When you feel like you can't take another step, what do? Take another step. Keep going forward. Jesus knows everything that's going on in this church at Ephesus. And I'm reminded, you know, we can take, and I don't mean this to alter Scripture, but we can take the word Ephesus out and perhaps put the name Victory in so that it will be more personal to us. Okay? So I want you, as you read this, I want you to take it personally. Jesus knew everything that was going on in that church. And he appreciated the work that they were doing. Not only were they a working church, they were a sound church. Here's the part that many churches miss today. It does matter what you believe. Okay? I know, and you talk to so many people, well, I like their music. Good. I love music. Don't you love music? But I like scriptural music. I like music that praises and uplifts the name of God. I've heard numerous times people say, well, I like their youth program. I think youth programs are great. Aren't youth programs great? But it doesn't matter what they're teaching my children. Okay? This church at Ephesus was such a sound church that when people would come and say, oh, I'm a preacher, I'm an apostle, you know, they wouldn't just say, well, why don't you just fill the pulpit? They would say, well, hold on just a minute. Let us test you and try you and ensure that you are what you say you are. As a matter of fact, that's what the scripture says, you know. In 1 John 4:3, John wrote, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world and they are still here today. There are a lot of people who call themselves preachers and pastors that are not preachers and pastors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it is important what we believe. Do not get caught in the worldly church today where it's, let's all hold hands, sing kumbaya and have a good time. We're all trying to get to heaven. We're not trying to get to heaven. We're going to heaven. Okay? By the grace of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith, not because we deserve it, but because of the grace of our marvelous Savior, Jesus Christ. This church at Ephesus, they were a sound church. It did matter what was taught in that church. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't put up with it. Jesus described them as hating the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans were an immoral, lascivious type people, you know. And they wouldn't put up with that. We should be of the same mind about our doctrine. Okay? We should care what is being taught. Now, this church at Ephesus, God described as a working, a sound church, a good church. And yet, there was opposition. And not just any opposition, divine opposition. God said, literally, in our language, Jesus says, you've got all that going on, but I disapprove. That's scary when Jesus says, I do not approve of your church. Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that kind of stir you up on the inside? Oh, listen, I want people to enjoy Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I want people to love what's going on here. But most importantly, I want Jesus to be satisfied or be pleased with what's going on here. He's the one, He's the reason that we gather. Jesus says, I have this against you. I have this against you. There's something going on there that's not acceptable. And what was that? Your divorce. Now, we're not talking about marriage here, but Jesus said, you have left your first love. Any idea what that may mean? I've heard a lot of preachers make a lot of different assumptions about what it means leaving your first love. I've heard some say that they thought it was witnessing and sharing the gospel, while others thought it was something else. But, you know, I think it's very simple. If you go back to the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment, the most important question, the first and the foremost commandment, Jesus said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's not complicated, is it? That's what Jesus expects. He expects love. Now, this church at Ephesus, it says, had left their first love. That word left, and the reason I used the term divorce in this section, that term love, literally in the Greek, was the legal term for divorce. So we could say you have divorced your first love. And what's really interesting about this word, and we're going to have just a little lesson, okay? You love Greek, amen? Oh, me? I want to give you, so you can get the context in which this is written. In English, we have a past, present, and future tense, all right, in the English language. You understand that? Say amen if you understand that. That way I know you're with me. In the Greek, they have something called aorist tense. All right? Now, in the Greek, they also have past, present, and future, but they have aorist tense. Now, aorist tense really has nothing to do with the time, past, present, or future, even though it's most of the time did deal with the past, but rather it dealt with an event. It was like taking a picture or a snapshot of something, an event that happened. And so when he says you have left your first love, that word left or divorced is in the aorist tense. It means it's a snapshot of an event, of something that occurred. Put it in our language. Something had happened. We don't know what the event was, but something had happened that pushed them over the edge and they stopped loving. That's why I say they were a cold church. All right? It's like a snapshot of something, and we don't know what it was. Maybe it was because they became cynical after trying so many false apostles, and they keep coming and keep coming, and they're like, oh, here comes another one, that they just shut the love off. Maybe it was somebody with a big mouth who said some hurtful things and hurt everybody's feelings. That'd never happen in a church, would it? I don't know. We don't know why. But the point is this. There was an event that had happened in this church that shut off the faucet of love. They were no longer teaching out of love for God. They were no longer winning souls out of love for God. They were no longer even serving out of a love for God. Did you know you can serve and not love? Oh, you can. Did you know you can preach and not love? You can. Teach and not love, you can. It sure makes it miserable, but you can do it. I don't know what happened, but this is the place where we take a look at ourselves. Do a little self-evaluation. And let me ask you this question. How is your love? And if you don't have that godly love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, likely as not that there is some event that has happened in your past where you shut it off. Maybe it's because somebody hurt you. I've heard preachers say, I'll never get close to a church again because the last time I did, I got hurt. Oh, you've got a problem, preacher, if that's your attitude. You better be close to your church. You better love them with all your heart, with your all. You better love them. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to have friends in the church because church people hurt you. Yes, they do. You know why church people hurt you? Because they're people. We're all subject to a bad day. We're all subject to say something that we shouldn't say. And we're all subject to, on occasion, be hurtful. But let me challenge you this. Do not come to the point where there is a life event that you can go back to and almost name the day when you stop loving. When you stop loving, you are no longer acceptable to the Jesus Christ whom we serve. That sounds tough, doesn't it? But listen, grab what he says. Take hold and take ownership of what Jesus says here. You have left your first love. I have this against you. I am opposite of you. Do you realize Jesus is saying you're not on my side, nor am I on your side? Why? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you lose the love, you cannot do the work of a loving God. Oh, it's vitally important, and I preach this with the realization that there are probably people present today that are holding that 20-year-ago grudge where something happened. There may even be some people here today that this is the first time you've been in church in a long time. And the reason this is the first time you've been in church in a long time is because somebody hurt you. So you just quit loving. Oh, listen, that's not a life. That's not a life. You do not want to go through this life lacking love. Are you with me? It's too important. Not only do you not want to go through this life, Victory Missionary Baptist Church cannot function without love. Now, I want you to understand this is not a pointed message and I'm not challenging. Matter of fact, I appreciate the love of Victory Missionary Baptist Church so very much. I believe that when you walk through the doors, you feel the love of God here. You know, I do. However, these messages are good to consider on occasion. Because it's so easy to get to that point where you're not loving. And when you're at that point, you understand God is on the opposite side of where you are. So what do you do? What are we going to have to do? Well, we've got to determine your options. You know, maybe you've been serving and you've been cold and maybe you know and you've known a long time it's just not right. Well, let's figure out what the options are from here, okay? Number one, Jesus said, remember from where you have fallen. Remember the way it used to be. Do you? If you're going through this lack of love, I challenge you. Consider what it used to be. And for me, you know, guys, you remember what it was when you were first dating your wife? Come on, guys. Amen. Oh, Brother Doug, I don't know if I want to go down this road with you, brother. It's not going to be bad, trust me. Remember what it's like when you first started dating your wife?
Amen.
There we go. That's when I like the zeal there. And the one important thing in your life was that she knew how much you cared. You remember that? I mean, you wanted to impress her. You wanted her to know that she was the love of your life. You just, you know, you sold out for her. I always find it interesting when I see young men and they talk about, well, I'll never do this and never do that. And then they meet that right woman and you just get whipped so quickly. I love it. I love it. But I stray. But you remember what it was like when you just wanted her to be impressed. And boy, you're willing to spend your last dollar to impress her, provide for her, because you loved her. There was nothing too good for her. I remember that day, sweetheart. But something happens through the years. Maybe you start to take them for granted a little bit. You know, you don't go that extra mile. And after you get married, you get to thinking, well, I've got her. You know, I've got her. She's going to stick around. If you're not careful, that love will grow cold. If you're not careful, you'll get used to that love being cold. Kind of like in the wintertime, you know, when a cold front blows through. In the beginning, it's just not comfortable. But after a few days, you get used to the cold weather. It's no big deal. You learn to live with it. That's kind of along this line. When you allow that marriage love to grow cold. But even more importantly than that, when you allow the God love in your life to grow cold. then your service doesn't mean anything. Then you start to go to church because you're supposed to. Then you start to teach the Sunday school classes because somebody's got to do it and nobody else is stepping up. And then you start to sing in the congregation or in the choir. Your singing is more like, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. You know, and you miss. And I want to challenge you. Go back to the time when you did love. Remember what it was like. And realize that we're robbing ourselves, or you're robbing yourself, of that love relationship with God and with God's church. Well, Brother Doug, what do I do about it? R-E-P-E-N-T. Repent. Repent. I know that's not used in the Christian dictionary of these days, but it is a fact that oftentimes the child of God does find themselves in a position that we need to turn around. That the road we're on is not a good road. And the road that is not a road of love is not an acceptable road for any church nor any child of God to be on. You're unhappy, God's unhappy. So why stay on this road? It's time for a change. It's time to turn around and do what you once did. Well, Brother Doug, why? Well, if you don't, if the church that's lacking love does not, here's what Jesus says, I will remove the lampstand. That word remove is an interesting word and it's interesting because of the construction or the meaning. The Greek word for move is kineso. It's where we get the English word kinesis. You've heard of kinesiology? What is that? Study of movement, right? Literally what Jesus is saying is, if you don't change, if you don't repent, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move the lampstand. The lampstand being the church. You want to know why some churches are dying today? Because Jesus has moved the lampstand. And there are some churches who are dying and there are some churches who are prospering. The reason is because Jesus knows how to move the lampstand. You see, there's going to be a church in the world until that day that Jesus Christ snatches us out. Okay? And He's going to maintain that church until that day. And so what He does when the church comes to that point where there's not a love for the Lord and a love for your neighbor and a love of God that's flowing through you, what He does, He says, okay, it's time for a move. I'm going to move it. And that church just dwindles and dwindles and dwindles until it's just dead. What a sad, sad picture. Especially when Jesus says, here's how to fix it. Here's how to fix it. You know, I've often heard people say and talk about, well, I don't understand why we're not growing. I don't understand why, the other churches. And God has been so good to Victory. And I want you to understand today why God has been so good to Victory. One of the reasons is because of the love that abides here. The love of God's people. It is precious to walk into this church and this worship environment and have people look you in the eye and smile at you and say, man, I'm glad to see you today. It is precious to walk in to a Bible study class and the teacher stand up there and with passion declare the Word of God because He really does care about you and what's going on in your life. You know, it's precious to have that love for the Lord. You know, you just know in a worship service who's being worshiped and who's not. You know when people are lifting their hearts up to God, don't you? I mean, you just know. You can feel it. You can feel the love. We've been blessed with a love, my friends, that we better guard with all of our hearts. Because God knows how to move a church. And let the church that isn't loving literally die out? How, Brother Doug? How do we protect it? Well, number one, you've got to experience the love of God. You have got to have a first-hand knowledge of salvation. Okay? Contrary to popular belief, everybody's not going to heaven. And you're not going to go to heaven because you're a good person. You're not going to go to heaven because your name's on the church roll. You're going to go to heaven because you've committed your life to Jesus Christ and called upon Him as your personal Savior. Have you ever done that? You see, when you do that, you begin to realize that He died for me in spite of the fact that I'm a sinner. In spite of the fact that I don't deserve it. Jesus Christ loved me anyway and went to the cross of Calvary to pay my sin debt upon that cross, to suffer, to bleed, and to die because I'm a sinner, not because He is. You see, and you first start to realize what love really is. And you call upon Jesus. And you ask Him to be the Lord of your life. You commit your life to Jesus Christ. And we're told in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, that's when you begin to experience love. But then, you know, it is. We do come to those times when maybe we take things for granted and we don't stop and love like we should. If you're there, just stop. Just stop. And turn. Stop and realize what you're missing by not loving God and loving people. You say, Brother Doug, I just can't. And I'll offer you this. The love we're talking about, it does have to come from God. Okay? How do you get it? You have to ask for it. You have to ask for it. Because it goes beyond your personal ability. Because there are some people that are hard to love. Amen? They are. Sometimes I'm one of those people. Just ask Beth. She'll tell you. But you know what? I thank God that she chose to love me anyway. And I thank God that we're in a church environment that even when I am hard to love, God's people are willing to love me anyway because the love of God dwells within them. We have to experience it firsthand. We've got to pray for it and ask God to fill us with that love. And then we've got to be ready to practice that love. Put it into practice. Share the love of God. How's your love life? That's the question I want all of us to ask. How's your love life? And I'm not talking about your boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm talking about your godly love life. If it's not full, you're missing out on the greatest blessing that God, one of the greatest blessings that God has to offer. Maybe today it's time to turn. You know, maybe your love's grown cold and you know, you're one of those that church people just don't cut it with you because they're all hypocrites. And it's time for a turn. It's time to turn back. Start loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And when you start doing that, then loving your neighbor as yourself will be a little easier. It starts with God. Do you love Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? If not, this invitation's for you. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise You for the day. We thank You, Lord, so much for the great love that You have demonstrated to us and You have shown toward us in that while we were yet sinners, You died for us. And so, Lord, today we are reminded. We're reminded to protect that love. To seek to have that love. Help us, Lord, that we may love You with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And help us that we may love one another with all. Love one another as we love ourselves. Lord, thank You. And now we pray in this invitation. Your will be done. Give us the courage to stand up for You and to answer Your call, however You may call upon our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.